Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We have one of the region's finest chefs in the studio today. He will answer your questions about food and fine dining. Bjorn Somlo is here. Bjorn is the ruler of the kitchen at Noodle in Lenox. That's spelled N-U-D-E-L if you're scoring at home. He loves to highlight local food in his culinary creations. Before Noodle, he worked at John Andrews Restaurant at South Egremont and at Applewood in Brooklyn. He got his start in the kitchen as a food tray washer at the Columbia County Fair and then moved to slinging pizza pie at Baba Louie's by the time he was 16. His signature dish, as printed in Food & Wine magazine, is a rabbit strudel with prunes, Alsace mustard, and petite kraut. He also works with Berkshire Farm & Table, a coalition of chefs and food purveyors in the region. So let's get to know Chef Somlo. Give us a call. The number to call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also get in touch with us via, well, email is one way, voxpop@wamc.org. You can go to Facebook, WAMC Radio. You'll see a Vox Pop post there. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or you could go to our website, wamc.org/voxpop, and there's a way to comment there. But call, if you would. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. With all that taken care of, Bjorn, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Nice to have you here. Okay, first of all, reading in the script, the signature dish, as printed in Food & Wine magazine, rabbit strudel with prunes, etc. Is that really your signature dish?
No, it's not.
Aha! Aha! How did you made it a couple of times and that became a favorite of somebody writing?
It was our first foray with media. We change the menu all the time, so yeah. they grab what they like.
Can a rabbit strudel be delicious? I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah? It's really good.
Well, tell us about that one.
I believe we did that for New Year's a couple years ago.
Yeah?
And it was just some really lovely Vermont rabbit cooked gently in a little pastry, some big, luscious prunes.
So it was sweet or savory?
It was savory. Yeah. Strudel is more to encompass the idea of it rather than the actuality of it.
Interesting. But that's something that hasn't popped up on the menu very often at Noodle. So tell us about Noodle. You, by your own admission, this is a very small place.
Yes, it is.
And tell us about it.
Well, we opened in 2009. We just turned 5 years old. We are actually celebrating our anniversary this week with we've changed the restaurant over for the week into a Mexican restaurant, and we'll go back to Noodle next week.
All right. Why is the question?
Fun.
Just for fun?
Just for fun.
So food should be fun.
Absolutely.
So you're a Mexican restaurant now, but in general, what can we find there?
Noodle is a restaurant that specializes in product-first food that's good, tastes good, that you enjoy. We're going to do our best to tell you where it came from, if that matters. If not, the flavors are going to take care of the rest.
But it matters to you.
It does. It does a lot.
Why?
Two reasons. One, I like to know where things come from. It's inspiring. It's interesting. It's it gets the gears going of why we should do what with what. The other part is I believe it tastes better. I believe you're going to know the difference when you eat it.
And to be sure, every chef who has walked in this door says the same thing. You will know when it's local and it's fresh and it's right off the farm, you can tell the difference. And you work with the Berkshire Farm & Table.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us how that works.
Beef fat, I'm not sure the entire definition of it, but what it is it's a way to further promote what's happening in the Berkshires, not just with the farms, and not just with singular agencies, but kind of bring them all together to focus on all the food and farms and the interesting things happening in our area and region.
I would imagine then, based on what's available, your menu changes quite a bit season to season.
We print every day.
What do you mean you print every day?
We print a menu every day.
Different menu.
It may be similar. There may be a lot of changes. We really just make sure by the time we open those doors, we have a menu we believe in, food we're excited to serve, and things we think the guests will really enjoy.
We're joined today by Bjorn Somlo of Noodle in Lenox, Massachusetts. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You brought some goodies today. What'd you bring?
I brought a couple local things. Some we made, some were made.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a cheese selection.
Ooh.
What we're starting with originally is one of our favorite things is we brought some Rosenbrook Chev.
Okay. Oh, nice.
She's amazing. So much so we have batch 104. She numbers all our batches. She can tell you when it was made down to probably the animal that it came from.
Can you tell the difference in batches?
You can tell in the seasonality when the season starts. So this Chev isn't being produced right now. It's been frozen, and then we thawed. But when the fresh Chev first starts running, it's one of our first signs of spring. And it's so brassy and tinny and garlicky. And as it changes into summer, as they get off hay and into fields, it starts getting rich and creamy and creamier. And it's a really amazing change, so much so that we often, when we have the chance with friends or guests, we say just have it first by itself.
With nothing?
Nothing.
Just grab a spoon?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can't do anything better.
Okay. What else do we have here today?
We made a couple of accoutrements to taste with it. We have one savory accoutrement. It's a tapenade made with berry patch spaghetti squash. That has a little green olive in it, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of chili flake in there, a little bit of orange juice. So that's going to be definitely on the savory. Mm-hmm. And then we have two sweeter accompaniments. One is a straightforward honey from Berkshire Wildflower over in Millbrook. That's just their awesome, awesome honey. And then lastly, we have a condiment that's based around, we got blueberries in the summer from Berry Patch Farms again, and we poached them in Millbrook maple syrup.
Ooh.
And it's kind of, it's between a syrup and a jam. It has a little bit of star anise and vanilla bean in there. It's really quite interesting.
Well, you know, it's funny. We talk about the food and who shows up but our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. It's like clockwork. So we'll try that in a little bit. If you want to give us a call and talk to Chef Bjorn Somlo, we'd love that. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. How did you know and when did you know? You look like a fairly young fellow that you wanted to that you wanted to do this, that you had the passion.
It just worked out that way. I really enjoyed it. I was going to school at the time. School's great. I was getting into it, but kitchens really, it made sense. It was inspiring. It was exciting. And when you're a young person in a kitchen, life's pretty good.
But did you have the aptitude as a little kid around the house?
My
did
mother would
care?
Say yes.
Yeah.
I would say no.
Why would your mother say yes?
Because she's my mother.
Okay. But, I mean, moms obviously have a filter that they view things through. But if you can't, I mean, my mother would never say, oh, you were a good cook, Ray. You were real good. So you must have been doing something right.
Hopefully. She was very good. So there was a good teacher to start there.
And when you started out, was it, you know, just making things you liked? I know I can sense that you probably like a good burger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, is that something that you began with? I mean, before you got into the fancy stuff? You know, the rabbit strudels and whatnot?
Well, I can only say that I'm actually not a fancy cook, and we at our hearts aren't fancy cooks. We actually really, we enjoy working with comfort in the foods you know and having a great time with that. I love all food. I do. I do love a good burger, and I didn't really start fancy.
Can you make a good burger?
Depends on how you define a good burger.
Well, you're the chef, man. I'm in radio. You define a good burger for me.
I think we agree. Our audience defines what's good.
All right.
My burger may not be any good to you.
Why don't you tell us how you would do a burger? But this is like 60 minutes.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
We could do like 3 days on burgers.
All right. Well, talk to me. Let's get your Chef Bjorn Somlo burger.
Okay. My burger, and this is going to get me in a lot of trouble. I like the thinner patties. I like them cooked quick. I like them with double the topping, you know, a layer of each.
Yeah.
And I like a nice, soft, squishy bun. If I want a big burger with a lot of meat and kind of really roasted out, I'd rather go for a steak.
So like White Castle, then, is what you're all about.
I'm there every day, right?
Right?
No.
No. Okay. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Let's eat. Jess is here. Let's eat. What do we have first? Okay, so he went through this earlier. We've got some Chev, and we have some sort of things that go with it. And he can re-describe it for those tuning in. 1-800-348-2551 is our number.
It all looks very delicious.
Indeed.
Why don't you just start with tasting the Chev?
Okay.
Just have a tiny bit of it and see what that is. Yep.
Just a little spoonful.
Or have a big spoonful.
A spoonful of cheese, really? Okay.
I'll give you a half a spoonful.
All right, thank you very much, because I can't afford to get filled up. He's right. You can eat it by itself.
Wow. It almost has a goat cheese type consistency and taste to it.
It is a goat cheese.
It is a goat cheese.
Bam.
Yeah, I missed that part.
You weren't even listening, were you?
I was coming into the studio when you were describing it.
It's really delicious.
But it's creamier than your typical goat cheese, I think.
Yeah. I don't think I would eat it by itself all that often, but I see your point.
It's really great to start there, because then everything else, you can see how the different elements add and play with it.
All right, so we're going to add the different elements in a moment, but Zach, let's take a break. 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop, and now we get to the exciting part. We get to eat.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. And Empire State Youth Orchestra and Select Chorus performing Orff's Carmina Burana at the Palace Theater on January 25th, sponsored by Hannay Reels and Bank of America, PalaceAlbany.com or ESYO.com.
Say, boys and girls, guess what happens 2 weeks from Monday? It's the Fun Drive. That's right, 6 a.m. Alan will be down at the Fun Drive microphone and talking to you. Our goal is to raise $1 million, and we will do it with your help, God willing. And if you want to join us now, you can go to our website, wamc.org, make a pledge into the lockbox. Everything counts between now and the beginning of the drive. We count it on day one. We can knock many days off this Fun Drive. Right now, it's Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. We're joined by Bjorn Somlo, Chef Bjorn Somlo of Noodle in Lenox. And it's a small restaurant, but an eclectic restaurant. At this time, if you go in, it'll look like a Mexican restaurant. But most of the time, it does not. We're tasting some food here, and then we'll get to the phones. Ray and Red Hook, hang in there. We'll get to you first in a moment. 1-800-348-2551. Before Jess takes the obligatory picture for the social media. All right, what do we have here, Chef?
All right, we set up a little plate with our cheese and basically the accoutrements to have with it.
Okay.
You got a big old chunk of that Chev we just tried.
Yeah, beautiful.
I think if you started closest to me, there's a savorier ingredient, and I think just try a little bit of those two together. Don't have too much right away in case it's not your thing.
All right, so the savory one is the
spaghetti squash tapenade.
Looks beautiful. It's a lovely presentation. Let's see. You going to eat?
You know,
one way we can tell you that it's not poison is if the chef also eats with us. Let's see. Mmm. Okay, so what's in that? That's delicious. And it does have a little spice to it.
Yeah, so that's so one of the interesting things about farm-to-table and seasonal foods is we are in the Northeast. Our farms kind of end at a certain point, and it does really create a wonderful cooking environment throughout the year. You know, there's a time that we have our asparagus and tomatoes, and right now it's kind of fading out. So we don't have a lot that we're getting from local sources as much, but what we do, we try to have as much fun with as possible.
And
that brings me to the spaghetti squash you're eating that we turned into a cheese element to taste with it.
Is this pickled?
It's spaghetti squash that has been roasted and then sautéed with a healthy amount of California olive oil, garlic, parsley, orange juice, a little bit of pepperoncini, a little bit of red onion, and that was just all cooked down until it kind of got tacky, and then we just chilled it.
It's amazing.
It's really good.
Oh, and a big handful of green olives as well.
Can't go wrong with the olives. All right, then we'll go right to left here on my plate, and we'll try this. This is honey.
Yeah, and that's another one if you want to taste just a little bit by yourself first. It's such good honey.
Okay. Mmm. Great texture. Not like you would get in a mass-produced honey. It's beautiful texture.
A note about honey, we do have a show coming up all about honey in about 2 weeks.
Is that our second one on that?
No, this is our first show on honey.
All right, let's grab a call here, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Ray in Red Hook. Ray, thanks for waiting.
No problem.
You're on.
I was wondering whether or not I heard the chef mention two very local to me, Millbrook places in which they got the honey, and I forget what else did he got from the winery.
Maple. The maple is
the maple syrup. I volunteer at a monastery locally, right near both of those places, and we make vinegar. And I was wondering whether or not there is anything that you could entice me into making, or if you do cook with vinegar.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get to you guys for years. I heard we had to drive down some secret path to get it.
It is a secret path. It is a secret path. But you could. There's. We would love to have you come and see our wares. It's. We make 6 different kinds of vinegar, and the recipe from the vinegar, the mother from the original, came 70 years ago from France.
That's awesome.
It's really a secret path.
We've actually tried it.
Well, it's a secret path because everybody goes by it and they can't find it.
Ah.
But we do have 2 vinegar festivals a year, and that's how Brother makes his living, by selling the vinegar. And he also has cookbooks that he writes.
What would you cook, Bjorn, with vinegar?
We use so much vinegar.
Really?
We have a tendency with our food profile to let acid be a contrast in building flavor. Mm-hmm. So vinegars, especially citruses, some light verjus, and we've actually been aware of their products for a long time. Our friends that have the cheese shop, Rubiner's, had them, and we tried to figure out how to get to them, and time became time, and we never made it down. Because as far as I understand, they don't deliver, actually.
Aha.
No, we really don't deliver. And we can't send it through the mail, obviously, the cost of it all.
Well, I tell you what, Ray, why don't you email voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll get you in touch with Chef Sumlow, all right?
That sounds good. But I'm looking for a great recipe. I've taken fish, obviously, and let it sit in the vinegar. I've also taken and used it to braise meats with, but I'm always looking for something special because obviously I have access to a lot of great vinegars.
I think one of the best things with vinegar is not so much to look for a whole recipe, but to really have that on hand when you finish a recipe. A little drop here or there will really wake something up. If it's not singing yet, it might help it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I'll make sure I email you, and maybe we could hook up halfway in between.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our number on this Food Friday. We're joined by Chef Bjorn Sumlow of Noodle in Lenox, and we'd love you to join us if you can. I tell you, I think the blueberry, we didn't talk about this, but it's blueberry-based.
Yeah, so we took fresh blueberries, and we poached them in maple syrup. And the Millbrook Sugar Shack or Sugar House is actually in Lenox, but its name is Millbrook. And we poach them in there with just a little bit of vanilla bean, a little bit of star anise, a cinnamon stick, and we do that at the height of blueberry season, and we have something left in the winter. And we've done that every year since because it's such an interesting flavor. It's simple to eat, but it's also complex.
Yeah. Now, when you cook, when you are at the shop, I assume you have people who work for you. Are you a difficult chef, or are you an easygoing chef? Are you a type A or not a type A?
Well, I'm sure they're listening, so they can call in and say.
All right, you know what? Call in if you have some horror stories.
I think I'm a mix of both. I try to be a good boss, which sometimes makes it hard to take the tough days, but we work with a very small crew that's incredibly dedicated and talented, so... everyone gets to have their own space, which works out really well in a kitchen and is rarely an option.
Space, or you mean physical space or creativity space? Do you run the creativity with an iron hand?
I do not, because we are so seasonal. It's really, you know, what we have and how it's coming in is in charge of where we start. It's more emotional space. We don't have much physical space, but creative space. We work well with each other. The crew from the front of the house to the back of the house are really special, and they really aim to put that product out there for the guest, and they stand behind it, and they eat it themselves.
That's always a good sign. When the staff eats the food, it's good. This bread, where'd you get it?
Berkshire Mountain Bakery.
It's very good.
They're so good at their job.
Yeah. So you try to work with many of the vendors in your immediate region.
I do, and I feel torn because it's become a very popular topic. But it's something.
But why would you be torn about that? I mean, it's a good topic, right?
It's a great topic when it's done right.
Well, how can you do it wrong?
You can maybe say that you have and you haven't.
Do you know anybody who's done that?
Of course not.
Really? Okay. But I mean, it's a good thing. It supports the local businesses. It helps the product at the end of the day. And it ain't bad lip service, right?
Oh, it's great. It's really wonderful. And it's part of the small community, which is a wonderful thing. And it's just better eating. It really, truly is. You know, the gentleman that owns the bakery, I got to say hey to this morning when I picked up the bread. And that's always a good day.
Indeed. Okay, we have a menu here from Noodle. This is how old now? This is just a representative menu?
That's actually what you're having right now.
Oh, I see.
I tried to...
Oh, this is the... Oh, I see, the tapenade. Right. Okay, so what's on your menu when it's not a Mexican restaurant?
But before you go into that...
Can we have the microphone for Jess for just a moment? Go ahead, Jess.
So sorry. I wanted to ask a question about the fact that you are currently a Mexican restaurant. I mean, the trend of the pop-up restaurant, it seems to be growing around the country. I mean, just here in Albany a few weeks ago, they had a pop-up ramen restaurant.
It seems like a great deal of work.
It was just one day the restaurant was all of a sudden, you know, serving ramen. And in your case, it's one week or one day. I didn't hear exactly what you said. The restaurant is suddenly a Mexican restaurant. What do you have a sense that that is a growing trend in the restaurant industry? And even regardless of your answer to that, what do you think about that?
The pop-up's an interesting one. It got really big kind of on the global restaurant scene a couple years ago. And it, of course, got big in your cities.
I feel like it's growing in our region.
It's a gimmick, though.
I'm seeing it a lot more.
Isn't it just a gimmick?
I would say there's some people that feed on the gimmick, and there's some people that there's a genuine... What's nice about a pop-up for the guest is you get to bring them something that they may not normally have to their neighborhood. It's kind of what we once did with Berkshire Farm and Table. We did a big chef exchange, and we brought chefs, say, from the Berkshires to Hudson, and Hudson chef to the Berkshires to say, hey, we're not that far away, but let us cook in your backyard for a night. And it's so much fun.
All right, let's go to the phones, and Karen in Monterey, Mass. Karen, you're on.
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you for having this chef on. We love Noodle. My question is really about the inspiration. There's always something so interesting going on in many of the dishes, not just one or two. So where are you inspired by, or where do you get your inspirations from? And then my second question is a recipe book. Are you coming out with one?
Inspiration. So when we opened, we tagged it seasonally inspired food, and we mean that, and we mean it to cover the whole gamut. We have a giant picture window in the kitchen that looks outside, and it really helps us, you know, cook. We look outside, it's stormy, it's cold, it's blustery, the food gets a little bit heavier, a little bit richer, a little bit, we're going to be wearing too many layers, who cares? And summer starts coming around, and we're saying to ourselves, let's stop cooking. Let's have it raw. Let's have it pristine. That's when the vinegars come in just to lighten everything up. And the other part is just the food that comes through the door. In the high season, it's really about our main committed farmers say, this is what we have. And they bring us incredible stuff, and we try not to ruin it. And what we also try to do is we try not to hide it. You know, we're going to show you in a way as it came, and really kind of bring those flavors to the table. I'm not sure if that fully answers the question.
What about the cookbook?
The cookbook, I always say, if someone can help me write it.
I've got plenty of ideas on that one. I'll swing by and give you a card of writers that I know.
Well, this is
a networking program. That's way to go. Thanks, Karen. We appreciate the
call.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye now. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 here on Food Friday. We're joined by Chef Bjorn Somlo of Noodle & Lennox. So, a satisfied customer, clearly.
Hopefully.
That's nice to hear. And we've been enjoying some fine food today. You can find out more on our website, wamc.org/voxpop. Feel free to tweet us if you wish at WAMC Vox Pop or email voxpop at WAMC.org. Recipe questions are always good. So if you have a question at home and you want to find out about how would the chef do this one, this is the time to call. I'll throw it out there. Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese recipe. We've had many a chef on here. We've had many a mac and cheese. Everybody does it differently.
So here's the hard one. What do you want out of your mac and cheese?
What do you mean, what do I want out of my
mac? Do you want that velvety, I remember that, it looks like the commercial mac and cheese?
I want crust on the top.
Well, that's another part. Do you want crust on top, or do you want that I love this cheese with noodles?
I like a mac and cheese with some body, and definitely has to have some edge on the top.
I think the big mistake that people make when they're making at home is you got to start and make the bechamel. You have to make that base, make it with milk. Don't think you're going to make it better with cream. It's not going to be better. And then add a good cheese, bake it. One of the things we do at the restaurant is rather than crumb the top, we make our own toasted crumbs so we can add it to every dish you scoop out. So we'll just set up a sheet tray with a little breadcrumb. We like the Japanese style, the panko, and we'll add a little butter, olive oil, salt to that, and we'll toast them. So when you scoop out each portion, you can put some more of that crunchy crumb onto each portion.
Well, that's not a bad idea, but it's more work for the eater.
Yeah, that's why you should come out and eat. We'll do all the work.
All right, fair enough. 1-800-348-2551. What about pizza?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's so
we've had
tough.
Some greats on this program.
Okay, what's the greats?
We've had many greats and many different types of dough. Baba Louie's obviously does a different type of dough than others we've had on this program. How do you do it?
I have actually recently for my father. Can I say happy birthday to him?
Yeah. Oh, birthday today?
It's my father's birthday. He's an old school WAMC listener, so happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday.
I've been actually making him some pizzas, not so much for the restaurant. And,
yeah.
We've had a lot of fun with the Sullivan Street. His pizza dough recipe is fantastic.
Really? Why?
It's super simple. It has enough salt.
Is lack of salt a problem these days?
Enormous.
Really?
In dough. And it's also, it's lightly yeasted, so it doesn't overproof, which really makes a wonderful, crunchy pizza.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so what's on the top? What does Dad like on the top?
He's game for anything.
Really?
He is. He's a big fan of cheese. He likes his lamb. He also likes to kind of get a pizza and then top it his own way a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Catherine and Troy. Catherine, you're on with Chef Bjorn Somlo.
Hi there. I have a background in food service, and it's more a comment and then a little tiny question. I am so moved. I'm driving here in the car, and I, Chef, am so moved by the oneness that you feel with the food, the producers, and your environment. I mean, do you even write about this in articles? I mean, just someone who's cooking at home, just to put in someone's mind, take a look outside, you know, take a look at what's in the local, in your store, and cook from there. I am so impressed, really moved by how just holistic you are about the whole thing.
Thank you.
Really amazing. The question would be, do you ever consider cooking classes?
It's something I've always wanted to get going, and the restaurant would be perfect for it. We just haven't found the space and time yet.
Yeah. Do you have an email that people can get on and just in case you decide to do that?
Absolutely. I mean, the restaurant itself is noodlerestaurant.com. Our email is noodlerestaurant@gmail.com, which is also off of that website. We also participate in Facebook and Instagram, and we try to keep some media going. It's we're a very small crew, so it's when we get around to it, we get around to it. But we're pretty okay at getting it covered.
And if you forget all of that while you're out and about, Catherine, you can go to our WAMC website and look for Food Friday, and you'll find a lot of the links Chef Somlo is talking about.
Okay. Bravo, Chef.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. Now, she wasn't on your payroll, right?
I don't think so.
So this whole zen of cooking business, you might have something. That could be the angle for the first cookbook.
I'll tell you the truth. You know, cooking, there's so many people doing it. There's so much more information about it now in the world. And the technology, not only with the equipment we use, but how and where we get food from is overwhelming. And I'm lucky enough to, when I think about what I want to cook, the thought of grabbing anything from everywhere in the world is almost too overwhelming. And I close my eyes and I look to what's around me. And that's where it gets exciting.
Using your creativity. Let's take a break here, Zach. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. It's a Food Friday. Chef Bjorn Somlo of Noodle in Lenox. Very zen-like presence here on the program. If you want to call in and enjoy the piece, feel free.
Support for WAMC comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York. Protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. And Sundog Cider at Solaqua. Locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples. Unfiltered, naturally gluten-free. Handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York. SundogCider.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. It is almost the weekend, and the warm weather was here briefly, but then it's getting cold again, and we'll have snow by Sunday night, it looks like. So stay with us over the course of the weekend. We'll have the latest in the weather information for you. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Chef Bjorn Somlo of Noodle in Lenox, kind of a erudite section of the world to be. And do you find you've been cooking now maybe 20 years, something like that?
It's getting close to that.
Are patrons, are they becoming more educated? Are they becoming better patrons than when you started?
I would say, I have to preface this by saying I work in the back of house, so it's...
You don't walk around and say hi?
Well, we have an open kitchen, so we stand there with you. And, you know, we have an eat-at counter with a couple seats, and that's been amazing. We have met so many incredible people that just make it worthwhile.
Does that put more pressure on you when you're cooking to have people watch you?
When we opened up, I was shaking.
Really?
I was terrified.
Just because you know what you're doing. Are you worried about making a mistake, or are you worried about being criticized? Why would that worry you?
As a cook, you're always terrified of being criticized. You imagine the worst-case scenario in every instance because you already know it. You know what could be better. You know what you could work harder on, and you're afraid at any moment of being called out. And sometimes people do this pause before they say something. You're like, I know they're just going to hate it. And then they light up, and they're like, that was great. And you're like, oh,
Most people like what they're given, right? You don't have that many people who will say, not just you, but in general when you're cooking, a very tiny percentage will complain, even if they're not entirely satisfied, right?
Absolutely. The mischievous thing to say are the great customers make it all worthwhile, and they really are the reason we get up and do it again and again and again. There are some bad customers out there that make it very trying to put your heart in it and make it a little bit easier sometimes to say, well, just step back. And it's always those great customers that...
Well, no, I'm, of course, more interested in the bad customers. What do they do that makes them bad? Send stuff back?
That's not a problem. The big thing with us is, so we are a different restaurant. We buy products locally, or when they're not local, they're not local. We prepare them in a way that we're having fun with it, and we think they're going to taste great. And we really try to balance how well they taste. We try to bring in an aesthetic. We try to bring in a texture. We try to bring in a level of technique and execution, but also keep it completely open for anyone to dine on any given night, whether you're, you know, after a day's work or you're on vacation, if it's special or if it's not. We're really giving everyone our 110%.
Right.
So when it goes wrong, it's if a guest comes through really expecting an experience they've had at another place or something that might be a little bit more franchisee and doesn't give us a chance to be us.
Yeah.
It kind of demands that it should be more like what they've had somewhere else before giving us a shot. Our whole thing is give us a shot to do what we do. If it doesn't work out, we'll take care of you. But if you're going to walk in and say, nah, this isn't what I want, there's something wrong with you, we're like, that's a little harsh. We have so many other places for you to dine if that's your thing.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Melissa and Troy. Melissa, you're on.
Hi. So I'm making a simple vegetable chicken soup, and I'm working on the stock right now. But I was going to roast some vegetables to add in. I was going to do some eggplant to sort of thicken up the stock, and then also do some squashes for veggies. And I wanted to pump up the flavor, and I was thinking about roasting the veggies with some vinegar, and you're just talking about the vinegar. So I was curious if you had any advice on what type of vinegar to use for this thing and when to add it in.
The big thing is with the veggies, what are you roasting?
So an acorn squash, a butternut squash, and eggplant.
And would you like the soup to have texture, or do you want it to all kind of cream together?
I want it to have texture. So I was thinking sort of smush the eggplant with the stock, but then have the squashes and some other veggies as actual chunks.
Mm-hmm. The big thing I would suggest is roasting all those things separately and then adding them to it. Add the eggplant. Make sure that gets roasted really well to take away any of that green bitterness that kind of happens with undercooked eggplant. And it can really take a harsh roasting and really come out quite excellent.
Okay.
And that can just go in when you're done with your stock and you've cleared it up and let that kind of just do its thing and gather. And then meanwhile, your other squashes, if you just roast those in the skin until they've gotten a little bit of a caramelization, you're going to get a really nice flavor out of them, and they can kind of fall apart into the soup. And the question about vinegar is when you've finished all of that and you've added your seasoning and your salt and you're tasting it, you might find that it's a little, I use the expression flat as saying that it's kind of on the softer side. And if you add a little spark of vinegar to it as the whole base, you might see it lively up and have a little bit of a perk to it that's wonderful.
So just to the broth itself a little at the end?
At the end, a little bit at each time, mixing it in and tasting it. Always taste, taste, taste.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa. We appreciate the call. But what kind of vinegar?
You know, that's an interesting soup to begin with. Eggplant and squashes is one that I wouldn't really imagine myself. I would almost think maybe a red wine vinegar could be good, but it might be a little too on the tannic side. Or you might want to go with something really, really light in the whiter vinegar families. Or that might be something that's just great with a squeeze of orange juice.
Mm. So all you want to do is change the pH?
I guess there's the science to it.
So all right, that gets to another question. And the number to call here if you want to jump in is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, the science of it. We've done many of these. We've been doing these over a year now, I think, or maybe longer. Every chef has sort of a different overall philosophy. Some I would peg as more scientist, some as more artist. You're leaning toward the art side.
I don't want to agree with that, but I can't say
I'm a scientist.
What
do you mean you don't agree with that? There's so much chemistry and heat transfer and even physics to some extent in cooking.
I would say cooking's a craft, and I think it's a craft, and I believe it's a craft, and I would say this to anyone that was listening. Anybody can do what I can do, and there's much better chefs than me in the world, and you can do what they do too. It's just a question of how much time and effort you want to put into it, and that's why I say it's a craft.
But it's also experience and knowing things about the world and also knowing things about equipment. I think that there are some secret gadgets that chefs have that I've never even heard of.
Do you want to talk about gadgets?
Yeah, let's talk about gadgets.
Okay, this isn't a gadget, but I think the most important thing everyone needs to have is a good pantry at home. When you go out grocery shopping and you're trying to make a recipe and you try to build a pantry for that recipe, it gets so expensive.
Yeah.
And having a good pantry at home of your vinegars, your oils, your salts, having a couple salt options, even getting down to some spices, but not buying giant spices, not buying ground spices, you know, grind them yourself, replace them after a year. Some nuts, some seeds, then you can kind of go out and buy just what you need on the fresh stuff, the vegetables, the meat, if that's your thing, and really have the freedom to either cook at home or amend a recipe at home, and that's when it gets really fun.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Chef Bjorn Somlo is our guest. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. He dodged the whole gadget and gizmo question quite artfully. Let's go to Kathy in Slingerlands. Kathy.
Hi. I'd like to know, I'm making a pork stew, and I wanted to know, is it better to add fresh herbs during the whole cooking, or is it better to add them at the end?
What's nice with that, depending on how much you have and what kind of herbs you're adding, is you could possibly add some of the stems when you're making the base of it and remove those, and just before you serve it, add the fresh leaves chopped up very nicely. It's going to reinforce the subtleties that were brought out when you originally cooked it.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Kathy. We appreciate the call. The number to call here, 1-800-348-2551. We go over to Cliff in Kingston. Cliff, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I wanted to know, has the chef ever tried jalapeno jack cheese and a mac and cheese? And making a macaroni and cheese.
That sounds good.
Never tried?
My mom did it once. It sounds great. I'm actually a sucker for sambal. It's an Asian chili paste. We throw that in almost anything. Such a great heat, and it you don't have to have then a special kind of cheese.
You can't put that in mac and cheese, though, can you?
Oh, it's so good.
Ah!
I told my mom to try jalapeno jack cheese and a macaroni and cheese one time, and it was so cold outside, that just warmed everybody up.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a plan. Maybe you should write a cookbook, Cliff.
I specialize in egg cream.
An egg cream?
Wow, that's a rare one.
Oh, well, you know what? We could do a whole show about that, man.
Well, I'll bring up the, you bet.
All right, thanks a lot for the call.
All right, bye.
An egg cream. You do that over at the noodle?
You know, I don't even know if I've ever had a proper egg cream.
What do you mean? You've been down the city, right?
I haven't had a proper made-for-me-there egg cream.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good.
I've had some of the adult egg creams.
What do you mean, adult? I've never heard of this.
Well, you know, a lot of the people, that's one thing that's happening out here. The people are upping their drink game a lot. The mixed beverages are getting very interesting, and a lot of them are actually
alcoholic egg cream?
Well,
they're
not necessarily egg creams, but they use a lot of egg whites to fortify drinks that you wouldn't know about. It's a great, great beverage when they do.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, the number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. My favorite egg cream story is I used to live down in northern Westchester and worked down there in the 90s. And you go down the city, you get great egg creams. And I was in a deli, and I bought a bottle of egg. Something you don't do is buy a pre-bottled egg cream. So I'm driving along in this brand-new car. And I'm like, oh, all the syrup's down at the bottom. I better shake this. Opened it, just a volcano all over the inside of the car.
What kind of seats did you have?
They were never the same.
No.
And the car was maybe a month old.
Oh, I mean, my.
Yeah, let's go to Kim in Mechanicville. Kim, you're on with Chef Bjorn Somlo.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding vegetarian, plant-based, vegan-type cooking. If you had a favorite recipe or any suggestions for a meal, a plant-based meal, that meat-eaters would like also.
Well, that's a fun question because I hope I don't sound like I'm dodging it, but I think good food is good food. And whether it's vegetarian or it's vegan or it's protein-based, good food stands alone. And I think we get into a lot of trouble when you try to make something towards a direction rather than starting with just wanting to cook good food.
But what if you have made that philosophical decision, mm-hmm. saying, I will not eat meat? How do you cater to that person?
When you go out and you look to what to buy, you're going to see the foods you want to eat. And, you know, whether it's, I think everyone can agree with a great dish of roasted mushrooms is going to be great for everyone. I think it's when we attempt to replace the meat of a menu that it gets a little weird.
So imitation is not the way you want to go.
I personally disagree with it.
Kim, what do you think?
I think it's great. I don't eat meat myself, and I love to cook. I consider myself almost a gourmet cook. I just love it. And I was just thinking, you know, if there was any favorite meal that that the chef had. So I have many favorites.
Well, I get in trouble because I spend a lot of my week cooking, and when I'm not, I kind of go towards creature comforts. And I have to say, I had an amazing grilled cheese about 2 weeks ago, and I'm not sure if I had anything better recently.
Awesome. Thank you.
It was on rye with some red onion.
Perfect.
Done on a griddle.
Kim, thanks a lot for the call. I like a little Nance's mustard. Just a little bit on
my
grilled cheese.
That's the acid again.
Yeah.
That's the acid.
All right, let's go over to Daphne in Woodstock. Daphne, New Hampshire. Nice to have you here. No?
Hi. How you doing?
I see. Just a moment for our call screener. Your H looks a lot like, your Y looks a lot like an H. It's Daphne in Woodstock, New York. You're on.
Hi. I do a lot of soup cooking, and I noticed that in Japanese soups, they use all the main ingredients at the end and pour the stock over it. I'm wondering, what is the difference between the nutritional content of green vegetables and fine herbs if they are cooked into the soup over a long period of time, or if they are merely added at the end as to keep the color and the flavor? It would seem to me that keeping the color and the flavor also keeps the nutrients, but I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Great question.
It is a great question. It's one I can't actually answer.
Oh, come on.
I don't have a nutritional background. What I can say is, especially when referring to Japanese cooking where there's a lot of broths, less so than stews, or you've touched on it yourself when you said green vegetables. You add them at the end, you're going to have the exact texture you want. You're going to have the flavor you want. Cooking out a green vegetable, you don't want to have that experience on the spoon of, what is this?
Yeah.
You know?
What is this mush?
Well, I live alone, and a lot of times when I cook a batch of soup, it's going to last me several days. And the first day, it looks great. The second day, it tastes better. The third day, everything is starting to oxidize in the broth. It doesn't look that great. It still tastes good, but I wonder how the nutritional content deteriorates. You don't know anything about that.
I could not answer that. I do apologize. I'm so sorry.
That's a great question.
Oh, I gotcha.
Absolutely.
I would assume, and of course, I am not a scientist, nor am I a cook, nor I can't even boil water, but I would assume that if you put the veggies in the soup and you leave the soup broth as is, all those nutrients should be in there, right?
I don't know what the exchange is.
Well, that's what I would think, but I don't know.
Well, nobody knows. You, Daphne, me, Chef Somlo, nobody knows. Good question all the same. You know what? Next time we do a science forum, call with that exact question.
If I'm in my car and I've got the radio on, I will do that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Have a great time.
You too.
Stay warm.
Bye. So when does the Mexican experiment end, this whole pop-up restaurant business?
The pop-up. So we're definitely doing it tonight.
Yeah.
Most likely doing it tomorrow. We'll see how the weekend holds out. It has a lot to do with traffic and, you know, what we have on hand and when we start going back to the noodle that people know for the most of the year.
Right. I mean, do you feel funny being that trendy?
I didn't know we were.
Well, obviously, if you're doing a pop-up restaurant.
Well, we're not technically a pop-up restaurant because we're the same restaurant in the same space.
So what brought it on?
Every year we celebrate our anniversary by doing something different. We've had actually chefs come over in the past. That's been wonderful. I think, and I could be wrong, but I think the idea of a pop-up restaurant is when a specific restaurant that serves a specific product does it in a different location. So, for example, if you name a restaurant you know and you drive it 2,000 miles.
Oh, I see. So it's not quite the same.
No, and I think that's really what the language on a pop-up restaurant is.
All right.
I could be wrong, but that's as far as I understand it.
All right. So the Grand Mexican Experiment will be ending in a day or two. So if, you, if you're eager to try that, you only have a day or two more. The website, once again?
NoodleRestaurant.com, N-U-D-E-L, restaurant.
Right you are, Chef. And, of course, all these links are at our website, WAMC.org, WAMC.org/VoxPop. Or you can search Food Friday. We'll put an archive of this program up. What do you think? Your employee is going to be happy with your performance today?
Never.
Really?
They'll love it. They're so wonderful.
All right. Well, listen, best of luck. Nice to meet you, and it was an awful lot of fun. Once again, Bjorn Somlo is the ruler of the kitchen at Noodle in Lenox, and it was so nice to have him here today, and we appreciate you joining us. The website, wamc.org/voxpop, and you can find out all about our Food Friday programs. Support comes from Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Pangea, North Bennington, Vermont, catering Southern Vermont weddings and corporate events with menus designed for special occasions, vermontfinedining.com and on Facebook. And Sundog Cider at Solaqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York, sundogcider.com. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Zachary Malloy. Your phones were answered by Barb King, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. I hope you have a great weekend. Now, a couple things to keep in mind. One, Alan will be here on Monday with a medical Monday. Check. Two weeks from Monday, it's a fun drive. Feed the Lockbox now. We'll make it a very short fun drive, WAMC.org. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned for a news update.